number 5, if you will, Acts chapter number 5, we'll begin in verse number 17. Acts 5, 17. Verse 17, Acts chapter 5. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But there may be divine conjunctions there in the Bible. I'm going to tell you, I read them all the time. I see what the enemy's done, and all of a sudden, but, and here's another divine conjunction. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison door and brought them forth and said, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." As I mentioned last time, that phrase caught my attention. And it speaks very vividly of the fact that this Christian life, the true Christian life, is more than a creed. It's more than checking a box of your affiliation. But it indeed is a way of life. Sad today for me, that's all it is. It's an association of affiliation. And for some, I'm not Buddhist and I'm not of Islam. And so if I got to check something, I guess I'll put Christian or whatever. And it used to be on a hospital, they used to have those questionnaires. You remember that? When you had to fill out the form and put your affiliation or whatever. But you and I understand as we look at the scriptures that this is a way of life. And this is how it's described here. And matter of fact, look over in chapter number 9. You remember Saul of Tarsus, we mentioned this morning. Has he been given letters? He was breathing out, threatening and slaughtering against the disciples of the Lord. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 2. He desired him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any, what's that next phrase? Of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them down to Jerusalem. And so we find it described certainly as a way of life. The Bible says that Christ is our life. Our life revolves around him. He's my master. He's my Lord. He's my Savior, my Redeemer. And listen, and so therefore, we acknowledge him, consider him, we seek him, fellowship, and desire to do his will. And so we want to be good servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be faithful children. And so our lives are no longer independent. Our lives are dependent. And we depend upon the Lord, and we seek him, and should seek him every day of our life. We know that James teaches us that we don't go out on ventures of life without stopping to pray and consider the will of God. We want to be in the will of God. That is the safest place a man can be. He might be in the worst situation and worst conditions for violence somewhere in the world, but if he's in the will of God, he is in the safest place there is. And so it is also the place of the greatest blessings of life. We want God's favor, God's blessing. And the Bible said that God said concerning the nation of Israel that they had limited the Holy One because of unbelief. God desired to do so many things for them, but they had limited him because of their unbelief. And so you and I, we want the blessing of God, the favor of God in our lives, and so we seek his will. And so we're a people of prayer. And we're a people who stop and consider the Lord. We are people who stop and seek to hear his word, his voice, call upon him every day. And so this is a way of life. Now, we mentioned last time, the early church, as we look at the book of Acts, gives evidence of people of great assurance. They were assured. There was no doubt concerning them. They preached the Lord Jesus Christ in boldness. We saw that in Acts chapter number 32 and Peter's message. We saw it in chapter 4, verse 13 to verse 29 and 31, that there was a boldness about them, a boldness to proclaim Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Savior, and the only way of salvation. One thing I find about the early church that should be true today of people who are of this life is that this is not a guess so, hope so, maybe so, listen, hope for heaven. This is an assurance. We are and should be fully persuaded. Thank God I am heaven bound. And listen, it's not arrogance because it's not me, but it's confidence because of Him. I know that Jesus Christ, His precious blood, listen, was the propitiation of our sins. That is, it totally satisfied God's demand for justice. And so, there's no more charges. The Bible says that we are no longer under condemnation because we have been justified by faith. That word justified is a Bible doctrine, and it means that God, the ultimate judge, has declared you righteous. And so, who is there that can condemn you? Paul said, Romans 8. Who is he that condemneth? God's the one that made this declaration. I didn't make it. God said, if I put my faith in Christ, call upon him, receive him, God pronounced that we were justified. Who is going to recharge us? There is no higher court. There is no greater appeal process. God has determined that you and I, listen, that we'll spend eternity. And so, one thing I noticed about these people, when they walked in this life, buddy, they had assurance. They had persuasion. I'm afraid today. I meet a lot of people who say they are Christians. But it's sad that when I ask them about their hope for heaven, sometimes I even get the wrong answer. But even when they know the truth, you know what I hear all the time? I don't. Well, I sure hope so. Well, maybe so. I hope so. That's what I'm hoping. I'm going to tell you, that's not a characteristic of this world. No, this way is a bold assurance because we stand upon the righteousness of Christ. We stand upon the precious blood. We stand upon the promise of salvation. Listen, by the grace of God through faith. And so we're a people who are to be fully persuaded as Paul was. Listen, we are to have blessed assurance as 1 John teaches us. And so, listen, one of the characteristics of people who are in this way of life rather than an affiliation, rather than an association, they have great assurance. Then we saw, number two last time, something else that characterized this new way of life. They assembled. Not only were they assured, but they assembled. Matter of fact, they went house to house. And we saw in chapter 2, verse 1, that they were in one place. In chapter 2, verse 42, they were steadfast in fellowship. In chapter 4, 31, they assembled together. Listen, their life was witnessed by their fellowship as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, as the family of God. And so it became evident that they were a people who congregated together, assembled together, joined together, and so, as I mentioned last time, that is what the word church actually means in the Bible. If you translate it, it means assembly. And so that's what we're known by. People of this life, assembled. Matter of fact, the Lord Jesus identified us with an illustration of sheep and the shepherd. And the fact that we come together and listen, are in the Lord's flock. And that you and I gather together and we enter into the fold and we follow the shepherd. And so, listen, it is his flock, the sheep of his pasture. But sadly today, I meet people and talk with people, Brother James, that say they're Christian, but they do not assemble. Birds of a feather flock together. We are at home with God's people. This is our family. If you got a problem in fellowship with God's family, you might better rethink about wanting to go to heaven. Because that's what it's going to be. It's going to be the family of God all gathered. As a person said one time, he said, I love the church. It's the people I can't stand. But anyway, you and I understand here that in this the early church that they were witnessing, that they had gone through a complete life change. And one of the things that identified this way of life, and when Saul was looking for them, he knew what to look for. They were not scattered all over the place. He knew to look for an assembly. If you're visiting out of town and you decide, hey, you know what, it's the Lord's Day, let's find a good church. And so you start looking. Nowadays you know the internet. And find a really good church and go over there and you can assemble with them and you'll find out, listen, that you're with brothers and sisters in Christ. And listen, sometimes that's a great blessing. And to go places and just, you know what, feel right at home. Just be welcomed. These people love the Lord Jesus, sing his praises, preach the gospel, believe the Bible. This is my kind of crowd. You know, it's pretty sad when people have, they have more comfort with a worldly crowd than they do with a godly crowd. Something wrong about that. Something wrong about that. Hey, this lie is a lie of folk who assemble with the family of God. And we draw strength, encouragement, inspiration, help, blessing from one another. Folk who really pray for you, folk care about you. Jesus said, they'll know your disciples call love you have one for another. How can you truly love people? Listen, when you don't assemble with them. You know, it's kind of sad. You have a family reunion, and Rita calls up all the family. Y'all come up, and I have one fellow says, well, you know, I just love y'all. Then how come you ain't been in 20 years? If you really love us, I meet people all the time, and it's kind of sad. I hate to say it, it's kind of sad. But listen, we'll have something going on in the church. Somebody bad sick, somebody in service, somebody going through something. And all of a sudden, I meet people who come back to hate someone. And they say, well, I didn't know that went to that. Well, we've been praying for them for about 3 weeks. And mentioned about every service we had. Hey, listen, we're folk of assembly. That's what this life is all about. Listen, the early church, you know what, they were faithful to come together to assemble, and they needed one another, and I believe these days before Jesus comes, you know, come soon, you and I, listen, we'll feel that heavy pressure of persecution, and we'll feel even greater the need for our fellowship and encouragement one another. And so thank God we have a place to go, a refuge, a place where we're loved, cared for, and prayed. Place where Jesus lifted up, where the Word of God is preached, and we can feed on spiritual food that'll help me, help my soul, lift me up, give me strength, help me with my trouble, I'll lift my burdens up, inspire me, help me to keep going. I'm sinking, somebody save me before I drown. And so we come together as God's people, and so I find that true in the early church, and because they live according to this. Something else I found about these folk that really showed they were according to this new life in Christ, that they were of this way, is that they were anointed people. They were anointed people. You see, this wasn't just a religious gathering. Listen, of folk who come together for common causes and for social good. These were folk who had been changed by the power of God and anointed of the Holy Ghost of God. I find here, look in Acts chapter 2, if you will, and let's note this, people of this way. Notice what took place, you remember Pentecost, and then Acts chapter 2, and notice in verse number 4, the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so we find here that the anointing of the Spirit came upon this assembly of people. They became powerful witnesses of the gospel, and the early church was given a special ability to confirm the message. You see, they did not have a completed New Testament. And so, listen, what makes them stand out, and why should we believe them, and how do we know they're the people of God, and how do we know Jesus Christ is the real thing, and how do we know there's anything to this salvation? And so, listen, the early church was given those special signs and abilities. Matter of fact, a lot of them quite amazing, not only to be able to communicate in languages they didn't know. And the Bible says here that in verse number 5, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation in heaven. And now this was noise abroad. The multitude came together, confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And so all of them were hearing the gospel in their native tongue. And they knew this was a miracle of God. And so God manifested himself through the early church by these powerful sign gifts. Matter of fact, that could be more than that. Remember what happened? Deadly poison. Wasn't hurt. I'm telling you. Listen, bit by old serpent. Wasn't hurt. I'm telling you. God's gift of mighty miracles. Followed them, confirming the message. They were the real deal. And so the Holy Spirit came upon them. You and I understand today, listen, that we have a complete Word of God that confirms the message. How do you know the preacher tells the truth? You back it up on the Word of God. And so the Bible confirms it, that a person is true and right. And so, but listen, nonetheless, you and I also, the Bible says that we are baptized in the Holy Ghost, that you and I have the Spirit of God. Boy, that means quite a few things. Turn over quickly. In Romans chapter number 8, we find here some powerful evidences that the believer today who is of this life is not just a religious man who goes through ceremonies and motions and attends religious services, but this has been a significant change in his life by the presence of God within him. Now, this is in a message itself, so I won't be too in-depth with it. I want to give you a taste of it. Look at Romans chapter number 8. The Bible says there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so, listen, these people were changed. They were different in this way of life because they were not fleshly creatures. They were not driven by pride and lust and worldly wealth and covetousness and self-glory. No, matter of fact, the Bible says here, for what the law could not do, that it's weak through the flesh. God, sending his own Son, the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sinful flesh, that the righteous of the law might be filled in us who walk not after flesh, but after the Spirit. And so there is that Spirit of righteousness that has now come to indwell the believers. And one of the characteristics of people who are of this life is the indwelling Spirit of righteousness. That is, there is a spirit, a driving force within them that turns them from the old way and the old life in the flesh now to this new and living way, and God giving them a desire for things that are right and good, and taking away the desire for the things that were wrong and evil. And so, listen, the Spirit of God, the Bible says, verse number 6, for the carnal mind is death, but the spiritual mind is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is empty against God, which is not subject to the law of God, neither he can be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And so there's a power of righteousness that came upon these believers. And so, listen, there was a change in them. And it became evident here by the power of God in their life. Listen, I can go on to say this. One of the evidences, of course, was the fruit of the Spirit, that love and joy and peace and meekness. That there was the fruit coming out of their life of the Spirit of Christ within them. And so, here's something about these people who are of this life. Listen, they were indwelt by that Spirit of righteousness, that Spirit of God. And so now, listen, there was a refreshment to everybody around them because the fruits of God in their life had manifested. Family, friends, neighbors, people you work with will begin to witness that, wow, there is a virtue, there's a goodness, there's a pleasantness. Listen, there's an inspiration that's coming from their life. But I'm sad to say, there are many who profess, listen, that they are Christian people. But I see that what's missing in them is the way of this life. Listen, meet folk all the time that bear witness that they have faith in Christ. But I know some of them. Listen, you know how you poke the Pillsbury Doughboy and giggles? You poke them, they're going to hurt you. I'm going to tell you, I've been around them, and I meet some of the gym. Boy, they make bold profession against you know the faith. I'm going to tell you what, they're mad at the Lord, mad at everything, mad at everybody. Listen, I hear them all the time, boy, they're fussing about something, complaining about something, crying about something. And listen, mad at somebody, I'm going to ring, I'm going to kill him, that guy on top of me, I need this on and on and on. And I think sometimes, is there any fruits of the Spirit anywhere in this? And I'm looking for a sweet apple, and all I get is persimmons everywhere. I'm just surrounded by persimmons. Please, listen, that there be something sweet. Ooh, I'll tell you what. I have a sweet tooth. Now, the father does like sour things. He does. And so we're different in that capacity. So when we go to Chick-fil-A, you know what we do? We get the, we watch our diet, right? So I get the grilled chicken. We said about 4 pounds of chicken. Anyway, I get the grilled chicken, and I get the fruit cup, not the fries. Truth is, I'd much rather have the fries. Okay, but I eat the fruit cup. But you know what I do? I pick up the fruit, and the Granny Smith apples, I don't eat. They're green. And the Gala apples that are in there, she doesn't eat. So you know what we do at the end? We walk in. Here, do the green apples, give you the sweet. Oh. And I never much on sour things. These kids, you remember the sour candy? Oh my God. I had one of them, I thought my lambs had that surgery. Oh, this is supposed to be pleasure. Sometimes we go out and there's a whole world of folk professing that they're of this way. I'm going to tell you, ain't nothing sweet about it. Ain't no fruit, no inspiration, and no acts of kindness and goodness, no care, no love. Listen, one of the characteristics of this way, listen, is that they were anointed with the Holy Spirit, and the fruits of the Spirit came out of their life. Let's move on quickly. I find out something else. They were of one accord. Look at chapter number 1, the book of Acts. The very first chapter of the Bible says that they were being assembled together with him, commanding him that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Spirit that he would yet turn to come. And then in chapter number 14, chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says, then all continued with one accord in prayer supplication with women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. And so they were in one accord. They were in harmony. They were in unity. You see, God has given us a foundation for our unity. There is one Lord. That means you're supposed to obey and so am I, right? There's one faith. We're all believing, supposed to believe the same thing. Amen. We believe the Bible, believe the gospel, the word of God. Listen, there's one baptism. You and I baptized by the Holy Spirit, the body of Christ. And so we're in one family, we're one bride, listen, we're his children, we're the body of Christ, all these things, listen, compel us to be of one accord, to be in unity, to be gathered and assembled together. You know, listen, the Lord identified the fact that there's some in the assembly, you know, they're goats and not sheep. You know what happened with goats? You ever been around goats? I have not. We would stand around and have a conversation, and then they would not leave you alone. And so you'll be standing there and just blindsided the next thing you know. What do you work? Mama Johnny would take a stick and knock him side of the head. And he'd like, I like that, I'm coming back to me. And then they'd play King on the Mountain. You get a high place. And they'd do some hay bales up there, and they'd play the King on the Mountain. Now, always fighting, always fighting, always fighting. You see, you and I, we have fights in the church, and the main reason for that is goats amongst you. Some folk just contentious, got to have it their way, got to be the King on the Mountain, got to be the chief of the day, got to stand on. And listen, always butting heads and always trying to stir up and get the drunk because it's so full of pride. And listen, always having trouble. And so there are many who claim to be of this way, but I'm sad to say that as I look and I observe, listen, I think it's more of a religious affiliation rather than being of this way. Because when people are truly of this way, listen, they're of one accord. The Bible says, and they continue daily one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Acts 4:24, when they heard it, they looked at their voice to God, one accord, and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth, the sea, and all their therein. The Bible said, by the hand of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all of one accord and solemn accord. And so, listen, they gathered around worship, gathered around the bread, gathered around the prayer time, gathered around the time of worship. God is going to blow me away. Listen, people of this life, you know what? They want the little toe of the family to move up. And they want that big toe of the foot that's stumped itself. They want that to recover, be healthy. And listen, but I find so many who profess to be of this way. I'm going to tell you, all they do is cut, criticize, cut, criticize, cut, criticize, and condemn. And would to God they'd send a card. Would to God they'd offer prayer. Would to God they'd call somebody, try to encourage them. Listen, call somebody and tell them, pray for you. Hey, listen, hey, if one of them sitting here don't have faults and failures, don't act like you ain't got any. Don't act like you ain't got any. If you don't think that you have any, ask somebody to be truthful and say, what's wrong with me? And they'll listen best to them. Sit over the notebook because they're going to fill it up for you. I'm going to tell you. We have a very, very lofty opinion that we're broke colored glasses about ourselves.
That's right.
And the truth is, listen, somebody else, well, they can tell you right off what your problems are, what your interests are, and things that are wrong. And so, listen, people of this life, listen, there are people of one accord, always endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the house of God. And then notice something else, and I'll close with this last one, go to chapter 4 again, and look at verse number 32. I find that people of this life, this way, were very attentive, giving great attention, great attention given to the body, great attention. Look at verse 32. The Bible said, both to them that believe are one heart, one soul. Peter said, any of them, that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. With great power, he and the apostles witnessed of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of land, houses, sold, and brought the price of the things that were sold, laid down at the apostles' feet, distribution was made, and every man according to he had need, the Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, Levi, you know, the country of Cyrus, having been sold, bought the money, laid at the apostles' feet. And so notice here, there was among these who are of this way of life a great concern for the needs of the family of God. These not only were praying people, they were giving people. They were people who were quick to respond. And when a brother and sister in Christ was down, and when they were facing hardship, troubles, and trials. And so the people this way would weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Jesus said that they'll know you're my disciples because of the love you have one for another. And we know in 1 Corinthians 13, the description of love, as it talks about charity, is the fact that charity is the activity of love. It's the action of love. A lot of folks say that they love you, but this, and somehow you can't really find me. But there are some folks of this way, listen, who will go to extremes to help out brothers and sisters in times of hardship. You see, that's people who are of this way of life. Now, sadly, there are many who make that profession. But I'm afraid it's more just an affiliation rather than of this way. Because I see what's missing, that there are not many who are willing to go out of their way to do anything to care about other people. You see, the Bible says having compassion making a difference. Having compassion making a difference. You see, our faith in Christ is not merely a creed. It's not merely a religious affiliation. It's not a social distinction. It is indeed a way of life. And the early church shows us why they were described of having been recognized of people who were of this way. And when Saul went out, listen, with those letters, to try to bring a crushing blow upon them, he went looking for people of this way. And listen, he knew where and how to find them because they had assembled together under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fruits of Christ became evident in their life. And he recognized, you know what? These people aren't just all talk. These are people who walk in different ways. And truly, it could be said about their own church, Christ was their way. I hope that can be said about you and me too. That when people see and get to know us, they'll realize that this is not just a creed, not just an association, but in our life, it is seen as the way in which we bring testimony